Committee on Business and Labor.
We're duly on this.
Let me get my act together here. Can we?
Yes, we can.
Open work session on House Bill 2195.
Mr. Chair, committee members, we first heard House Bill 2195 on February 2nd. We are waiting for the fiscal impact statement on this, in which there is no fiscal. This bill is from the Workers' Compensation Division, and it deals with streamlining regulations dealing with vocational provider organizations.
Do we have anyone?
No.
It's
a work session, so we don't have to have
I will accept them. A motion. Do I have a motion on this bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2194 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Holvey moves House Bill 2195 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Is this a consent agenda bill, maybe even?
I think it is, and there's nobody to hear.
I didn't speak up earlier, but I'm not sure there's any controversy, any concern, frankly, by anyone. And in our efforts to streamline, it might be an appropriate change.
No expenditure impact, no revenue.
Well, maybe I'm hoping something, but something non-controversial.
Nothing money-wise.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we do need to take a vote on this first, and then we can discuss putting it on the consent agenda.
Right.
But the vote does need to take place.
Oh, is that how you do it? I thought your motion was to send it to the consent agenda.
The House rules, the vote goes first, and then the consent calendar.
That's why I'm
Thank
process.
You very much.
Thank you. All right, is there any discussion on this concept? We'll wait for Representative Witt and make sure he's aware of what we're doing. Morning, Representative.
Good morning.
Representative Holvey has moved House Bill 2195 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. This is a non-controversial bill. We've heard it already. We're in work session. If you'd like to take a moment and look at it, if you have any concerns, and I was about to ask if there was any opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm prepared to vote.
Very good. Is there any opposition to House Bill 2195 today? With that, so moved. And I would take suggestions as far as how we carry this out on the floor.
How do we do that? Do we make a motion? So I move that we put it on the consent agenda. Is that the correct thing?
That's it.
Is that a motion, Representative?
Yes, please.
Representative Kenner moves we put this on the consent calendar. Is there any opposition to that idea? Very good. So I move. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2195. Excuse me. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2197.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2197 is the Workers' Compensation Division streamlining bill. We first heard this on February the 2nd. There was no fiscal impact on the measure. We were waiting on that before we could hold the work session, and there was no opposition that came forth.
I would entertain a motion on this bill as well. Anyone want to jump out? Representative Escobar, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2197 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Escobar. Moves House Bill 2197 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion or concern about this bill today? None. Is there any opposition to House Bill 2197 on the committee? All right. Well, then, seeing none, then so moved. Does this merit the consent calendar, members?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Barton.
Although I would say I would certainly not object if you wanted to shift this to consent calendar. The only, to the extent I ever object, would be if we were going to assign it to Representative Matthews instead.
I'm sure Representative Matthews appreciates that and will not forget it. Is there any other... that's a great thought. I appreciate that thought, Representative.
Mr. Chair, yep. I believe that Vice Chair Barton would probably like to chair this. He would like to carry this bill if he were being paid by the hour as an attorney.
Once again, Representative Escobar is correct.
I'm going to have to call you all to order in a moment. So, do I have a motion to put this on the consent calendar?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Matthews.
I'd like to make a motion that we carry House Bill 2197 to the consent agenda, please.
Thank you. Representative Matthews moves House Bill 2197 to the consent calendar. Is there any opposition or concern on that motion? Seeing none, so moved. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2197. 2197. And we're just going right down the line today. I'm just going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2248.
Mr. Chair, committee members, we first heard House Bill 2248 on February the 4th. We were waiting for a fiscal impact on this, and so we had to carry it. We had to carry it over. The reason why we have a public hearing is because Tom Irwin from the OLCC has a proposed amendment that he'd like to bring forth.
Come on up, Mr. Irwin.
We, no, the amendment has not been dropped yet, Mr.
Great, thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tom Irwin. I'm the Government Affairs and Communications Director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The amendment we would like to submit to you is all it really does is add three additional license types to the responsible vendor program: the brewery public house license, the grower sales privilege license, and a winery license. In the past, those three license types have not been in the responsible vendor program, and they are also subject to minor decoy operations, and out of the minor decoy operations, the responsible vendor program grew, so this would just add those additional license types to the mix. And we should probably put it in our original bill, but did not do so. So we would like to submit this amendment.
And you do not have that language today?
I do actually have some language that I can...
Well, go ahead and pass it out. We don't have a fiscal on it, so we're not going to work it today. And just so you know, Tom, there have been some reservations expressed to me in the hallway about this, and whenever we do work it, I'd hope those folks would be here.
Sure.
And we'll hear from them at that
Absolutely.
Time.
I understand, Chair. I've heard from some of those.
Representative Cameron.
Yeah. When we work it, we're going to hear those reservations?
I would hope so, if they have them. We aren't working it today.
Did we hear them in the
no.
public hearing?
No, we have not. And we also didn't. We haven't heard this message yet either. This is the first time we've heard this language, and he just explained it. Are there any, that being said, are there any questions of Mr. Irwin today? Today, we're not working this today, and we can leave it open for questions. We'll have another public hearing before we work this bill.
Okay, thank you.
So, with that, any further questions? Mr. Irwin, do you... Representative Holder, do you have a question?
Well, I was just wondering if he was going to go over this amendment with us. Or the language.
I thought he just did, but if you want to further elaborate on it, Mr. Werner, I'd be grateful.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative Holvey and members of the committee, basically all we're doing is adding language. If you, I'm trying to look at this quickly myself. In the first paragraph, the last three license types, brewery, public house, grower sales privilege, or winery license, those three, I believe, are the three license types that haven't been heretofore in the statute, and we're asking to add those particular license types. We did change some of the other language in order not to have any confusion over what we were trying to do, but hopefully this language is going to be... obviously, Legislative Council is going to need to look at it as well, but this is what we thought would be the best way to do this.
And this language has not been publicly distributed at all until just now.
Mr. Chair, actually, I did send a copy of it to Bill Perry of the Oregon Restaurant Association, so he's had a chance to look at it, but otherwise, no.
Yeah. Well, we're going to definitely have another public hearing on this and give everyone an opportunity to examine the language, because I've just looked at it now, just looked at it for the first time myself. So any further questions of Mr. Representative Cameron?
Just a question. This is not an LC draft, then?
No. Any further questions? Mr. Irwin, you have any further to say?
That's it at this time.
Anybody else want to come up and testify on this today at this moment in light of this new information? All right, thanks.
All right, thank you very much.
With that, I'm going to close public hearing, House Bill 2248. And open a public hearing, House Bill 2200.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2200 synchronizes language between elevator safety standard statutes and boiler and pressure vessel safety standard statutes, and also modifies the fee schedule for an elevator operating permit. The bill declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2009. There is a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on the measure, and you do have a fiscal statement in your packets this morning. You also have a -1 amendment from the Building Codes Division that corrects the Scribner's error in the statutory reference, and there will be full description of the amendments in the staff measure summary.
Mr. Long, would you like to come up and shed some light on this bill?
Where did you pass that?
else had it?
What?
The amendment to this bill to be passed today?
Hopefully she comes. Whenever you're ready, Mark.
Sure, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark Long. I'm the Administrator of the State Building Codes. Before you have House Bill 2200, which is an agency bill that does several things. What I'd first like to do is just talk briefly about the elevator and boiler programs because this bill impacts both of those areas. We've been inspecting and regulating elevators in the state since 1937 and boilers since 1921. These are very old programs that have been around for some time. There are roughly 10,000 elevators in the state of Oregon. Elevators include things such as your traditional elevator that we're used to, as well as wheelchair lifts, moving walks, escalators, those types of devices. Boilers, we have roughly about 47,000 boilers in the state. These are anywhere from super large water heaters to things that generate power to all sorts of pressure piping and air compressors and those types of devices. In Oregon, on the boiler program, the regulation is divided between the state and insurance companies. Of the 47,000 boiler devices out there, the state does about 16,000 of those units on either annual or biannually or some level of frequency. Both programs require that new equipment installed must go through a regulatory process with the state of Oregon. So if you put in a new elevator, we look at it. You put in a new boiler, we look at it. Both programs also require that the existing work, existing elevators and boilers are looked at on some frequency determined by the state depending upon the risk to the public. So I actually have staff that go out and look at every elevator device in the state at some point between a 1 and 3 year period. And we look at every boiler that we're responsible for at some point between a 1 and 6 year period, just depending upon what it is and the frequency. And then both of these programs respond to accidents when there's an injury or explosion or et cetera. This bill continues some of the streamlining that I've been working on since 05, and the chair may be familiar that back in 05 we took our licensing programs, who were operated kind of in silos for some of our contractors, and we passed a bill to kind of streamline the regulations, create the terminologies the same, make the methodologies the same, so that I could remove some of those silos, and eventually created a web-based application where over 50% of our contractors apply for their licenses now online. What we're doing is continuing that practice that also went on into the 07 legislature. Last year, I worked on a bill that allowed us to prioritize our elevator inspections. Previously, the statute required every elevator in the state to be inspected annually, and we realized that some elevators only travel a foot, some travel hundreds of feet, and to look at every one at the same frequency didn't put the priority in line with the regulation, in line with the risk. We also last year worked with the insurance companies to kind of clarify the roles between my organization and the insurance companies, making sure that insurance companies understood what they were responsible for in boiler inspections and what we were responsible, because there was a lot of confusion. We worked on those bills in 07. In 09, I bring to you this bill that impacts both the boiler and elevator program to make, and it has two pieces. It has policy piece as well as a fee piece. On the policy side, we're making the terms and the processes between these two programs that have operated for since the 30s in two separate ways. We're going to make them consistent. So we're making sure that the terminology is the same, the frequency, those types of pieces are the same so that I can get one computer system down the road and offer web-based technology. We also, in the boiler program, in this bill, convert from hourly rate fees to flat rate fees, which frankly is quite difficult in then asking for a fee increase at the same time. Previous to the, if you pass this bill, we will move to standardized rates, which is what we've had in the elevator program since the 30s in our boiler program, so that our businesses and our contractors and everybody else can kind of know exactly what the costs are for these inspections that I've talked about up front. Right now it's hourly rate and it's all over the map, and it kind of depends on where we're located, how close we can, you know, how close we get there, what our travel time and all these different things. And frankly, there's a divide sometimes between some of the rural areas and urban areas, and just depends on scheduling. The prices vary here from the same level of units, and we think that providing standardized fees or flat rate terminology is the way to go. And then also this bill has a fee increase in our boiler program. We have not increased the boiler program's fees in statute since 1991. Now, it's kind of goofy. In The base fees in statute haven't been changed. However, the agency was given the permission to increase the fees by 10% in 2001 from the statutory levels that were set in 91, if you're tracking with me. And so these fees have not been touched since 2001, and our operating costs obviously go up every biennium, like in every area, and I need to adjust my fees to keep my staff, where I perform the boiler inspections for 16,000 units around the state, in place. And with that, Mr. Chair, I think I've kind of overviewed the bill. I'd be happy to take any questions. Again, it's got a policy piece where we're standardizing things between these elevator and boiler programs so I can bring them in a line, make things work a little bit better, as I've done in my other programs over the years. And then we do have the increase piece, which is the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And I will note that you do have dash ones, as staff indicated.
Thank you. I think we're going to hear from industry and trades in a moment about their support or lack thereof of this. So I won't ask you that question, and I understand the need to, we've discussed this, Mark, to get out there and make sure these boilers don't explode. I'm not for that. But I do have a question, and I probably should let Representative Cameron ask this question, but on page 13, on right at the top, line 1, under small case D, beverage service in certain air tanks, is that a new inspection, or do you currently inspect beverage service? And I'd assume that means restaurants, taverns, wherever there's a concession stand. How does that work?
Mr. Chair, you know, the boiler program is pretty complex, and there's a lot of uniqueness in it, and I'm going to give you my best shot, subject to being incorrect, all right? The statute for years has allowed us to inspect these air tanks, but I believe the boiler board, and I forgot to mention that this program, both the elevator program and the boiler program, have separate boards that help oversee the administration of the program. I believe we've exempted a certain level of that work because there isn't a risk to the public for some of the new modern air tanks and whatnot. So is there a statutory authority and a fee mechanism for some of the equipment? Yes. For the most of the equipment, I think in the retail application, we don't look at, and I'll need to double-check that, but that's my recollection.
Well, I mean, I really need a specific answer because if we're going to start inspecting every single soda pop fountain because of this change, that's a pretty big change.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I probably should clarify. This bill and the money that we're asking for is not going to change our regulatory structure that we have currently. This is to keep us operating at the same level we're doing before as of today. So if we are regulating these devices today, we would continue to do that in the future. If they're exempt today, they would continue to be exempt in the future. And I can find out real quickly for you in between testimony, if you don't mind.
Does it say that in here? Because if it doesn't, then it should.
Okay.
All right. Any further questions? Representative Kannemer?
I had a question. You talked about your hourly rates. I just wondered, what's the variability in those rates, you know, and how does that compare to the standard fee you're suggesting?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative Kannemer, you kind of have to look at the individual thing because we do new installations, so there was previously or currently an hourly rate for that, and that goes to flat rate. And then there's the ongoing inspections when we go out on some level of frequency. So if you look at the new installations as an example, our current rate is $66 an hour for our staff, which would include travel time and mileage. If you kind of average out the various permits we do and the various types and all that, it comes around roughly about $130 has been the average currently today. This moves it to $175 for new install. Okay. On operating permits, it gets a little more challenging because I don't do all the inspections. More than half of the inspections are done by the insurance companies, and so this does not impact their rates, and they charge whatever they charge. I believe it's an hourly rate and quite a bit higher than the state's. But on the operating side, we're taking the operating permit, which is now $27.50 for the state's portion of something that we don't inspect. This gets kind of, there's a lot of complexity in this program, and that goes to $40. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, please.
I guess to follow up on that,
sure.
So what was your methodology then? I mean, you're saying your average cost is about $130 and you're going to $175. That's $45 more than apparently your cost.
Right.
And I assume any fees stay with your agency.
That's correct. Mr. Chair, Representative Kannemer, here's how we approach the problem that we have on the revenue shortfall side. Mm-hmm. At a macro level, the program is roughly a $3 million every two-year program. The fee increases in this bill roughly are around $1 million. There's a specific number in your LFO, and I think it's roughly at $1 million. So that's the 35%, if you will, that we recognize we need to continue operations of the staff that we have. Then we went through the 16,000 different elevator types that we have and the multiple scenarios that are out there between hourly rates, installation permits, operating permits, inspection frequency schedules. Some are 1 year, some are 2 years, some are 5 years, some are 6 years. Tried to figure that out to the best of our ability and created a flat rate that would be commensurate with that 35% increase. So it's very challenging work. Our staff spent quite a bit of time to make sure that we got the number that we needed to get to keep the program operating, and that we made sure that in some cases the actual percentage increase is smaller than 35, in some cases it's actually slightly larger than 35, but over these 16,000 different permits it averages out to 35%. I don't know if I answered your question or if you had more.
I think you gave what I needed.
General Holt. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark, I'm assuming that your boiler program right now is not adequately funded to perform the inspections and the other pieces of the program.
Yeah.
Because it's short $1 million per biennium is what I'm looking at.
Out of a small program, yes.
And that seems like a chunk. So, I mean, how is this basically to add on more inspectors to get the job done, or is it something else that's causing the shortfall in this program?
Chair Representative Holvey, we've been, because the fees haven't been adjusted in some time, and if you look at 1991 base levels in 2009, there's obviously been a change in cost and operating. We had that 10% adjustment in 2001. We've recognized that we've had problems in this program basically since about 05 or 06. And frankly, before I wanted to come before this group and ask for money, we audited our program, we streamlined some of our regulations, we cross-trained our staff, we passed a bill last session to clarify our role between us and insurance companies, because there was a lot of confusion between that, and we believe it was running up our costs. This bill and these fee increase pieces only keep me operating at current level. We're not adding staff. If the Ways and Means Committee or this committee chooses not to support this, I will reduce my, I can't remember if it's 8 or 9 inspectors, by 3 or 4. Which would result in then significant backlog on those annual inspections that I talked about, as well as delays to the contractors on new work. And that outcome, especially in the boiler area, you're dealing with a fairly significant safety risk on a lot of these pieces of equipment. And if the legislature is uncomfortable with the fee part, which I completely understand, it's just the worst possible timing to do this. I wish I wasn't here before you asking for money. I would be here asking for the streamlining and the methodology changes regardless, because I think that that's going to make the program operate better. But if we don't do this, then I would recommend we take a different approach to whether we talk to the insurance companies about doing this work or some other entity, because it's too this equipment's too dangerous to let it go uninspected. So hopefully I answered your question.
Follow-up. So I guess from that I'm assuming that your boiler program has been operating at a deficit.
We have been borrowing from some of Mr. Chair, sorry, Representative Holvey. We have been borrowing from other programs to keep it afloat, and it's no surprise that many of the areas in construction and inspection community are reducing services based on workload out there. Frankly, I haven't done that in the elevator and boiler program because of the risk to the public with these types of devices. We've made a commitment to keep our boiler staff and our elevator staff function at the levels that we have, and we need to have this in order to continue. It does not add program, does not add staff above current levels, and it does not add regulation. And I'm going to answer your beverage question.
That's questionable, Mr.
No. Thank you.
Yeah.
On that, Mark, I got no problem, and you'll have another shot at this, whether this bill passes. I'm not against this bill. I just want to let you know that, especially when it's when you're discussing in the frame, and you frame it within inspecting boilers. Beverage, unless they've installed taps in the elevators lately or in the boiler room, you don't need a beverage. This is broad language, Mark. And you could literally, if we pass this as it is, the way I interpret it, and I'm just a hard-leg laborer. Now, I'm not a lawyer.
No, I appreciate you bringing it up.
But you know what?
if we pass this way, it is way I interpret it, every single restaurant, tavern, bar, concession stand, every little anything that has a tank, air tank on it, that serves soda pop, you could literally go out and say, we're going to start inspecting that today. And I'm not going to do that. Matter of fact, I'd like that just taken out of there, to be quite frank with you. Now, as far as Representative Holsey's concerns, I share his concerns. And your inadequate funding for inspecting boilers and elevators, that's a no-brainer for me, because the elementary school my daughter went to in Happy Valley, they tore it down, had a boiler in it. And I want those boilers inspected regularly, more than regularly, because I don't want them blowing up. Neither does anybody up here. But boilers ain't beverage service. That language, I have grave reservations on that language, and my restaurateur friend here ain't even spoke yet. So that I have issues with. Now, but as far as us, as far as, you know, the implication that we're going to not pass a bill and allow you to go cut your staff and not inspect these boilers, Mark, that's just wrong. We're not going to do that. And even if we did, you got another shot at Ways and Means anyway, because you have a budget in this building. So I really, that kind of peeves me. But anyway, any more questions of Mr. Long? Representative Matthews.
I had a question about, can you give us an idea of the ratio of, from 1991, maybe, how things have changed or maybe not, inspectors to inspections that you're doing? Would you have that number?
Mr. Schaffler, Representative Matthews, I'm not sure what you're getting at. I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm getting at is I'm sure that over the years your inspections have increased.
Yes.
And so I'm curious if your staff has increased with that or if you're just constantly running behind.
You know, off the top of my head, since 91, I can't answer that question. I know since I've been in the corner office, our staffing has been relatively flat. What we've done is cross-trained folks. We've tried to straighten out some of our billing. We've tried to prioritize our work. We've taken some of the devices, and Chair Schaffler, just real quick, guarantee you we're not inspecting beverages and the good representatives' restaurants, or he would have let me know about it. But I'll find out, because the direction to staff and the direction that we've taken on this was no regulatory change. So there must have been this provision before, and I believe it's been exempted by the board. But I'll double check. Getting back to your issue, we've taken some of the devices over the years. If you want to kind of look on page 12 in the old system where they were broken down by types in the boiler program, boilers of 15 horsepower less, they used to be on a 2-year cycle, now they're on a 6-year cycle because we don't see a big risk there. Some of the power generation were on a 6-month cycle, we went to 1-year cycle. Some stuff was 2-year cycles, it stayed at 2-year cycles. Some went from 5 to 6. So we've spent quite a bit of time in order to keep our staffing levels at whatever, but provide the same level of service from a risk standpoint overall. So in the last 6 years, it's been the same. I'd have to go back and look at what happened between 91 and 03.
And follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
And the only point I was making there is, in the world of the fire service, it seems like prevention resources are being cut drastically. Mm-hmm. We're talking about safety here. We're talking about the same thing when you're talking about elevator shafts and you're talking about the boilers. And so the only point I was making was, are your resources diminishing as your workload is increasing to the point where we're starting to compromise, you know, the safety of the community? And that's my only point, so.
The boiler program, it would be. I'll tell you, just a plug for our staff. Our staff has done a great job over the years to keep doing the same level of work as it does increase with the folks that we have by being smarter, faster, getting training, and being more efficient in what they do. But we're at a point now that our costs just haven't kept up with, our fees haven't kept up with our operating costs.
Thank you. And I share those concerns, Representative. And I believe at face value when Mr. Long comes up here and says that their resources have not kept pace with their demands, I believe it.
Yeah.
I think that's true throughout a long year. That being said, every single department and agency has been asked to provide scenarios of cutting back, even if they're not general. That includes general, Fed, lottery, and other funds. But clearly, I'm not interested in cutting back in boiler or elevator inspections. So.
Well, the challenge here, Mr. Chair, is in some of our inspection areas, workload does decrease when the economy goes down. With boilers and elevators, we still have to look at those 10,000 elevators and those 16,000 boilers, regardless of whether we're getting new ones added to the pile or not. So there is a workload that stays on that needs to be supported.
And I'm conscious of that. Okay. Representative Thatcher, you have a question.
Thank you, Chair. just briefly take me through what is entailed in an inspection? You show up at somebody's kind of unannounced, and you look, I'm assuming, or you make an appointment, and then you inspect the boiler or the elevator or escalator as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? You give them a report to fix different things and...
Chair Schaffler, Representative Thatcher. I'll talk first about the elevator program. They're similar, but each device has a particular frequency in which the elevator, in this case, has to be inspected. So this one in the Capitol is probably a two-year, I don't know, but let's just say that it is. So the owner of the building is notified that their permit's about to expire, and we let them know that, and there's a fee for that inspection that is sent to them, and they pay that. And then our staff show up. Typically, we don't schedule those inspections. It would be awfully difficult. Sometimes in the larger institutions, though, we do. When we go to a University of Oregon or Oregon State or some of the schools, they like us to be there when school's not in session, so we work on that through the summer to try to get those inspections. Some of the large industrial mills, we try to get there. And then there are some specialized businesses that we get a sense of when we need to be there and when we don't, just to not impede their business. But typically speaking, in this building, our staff would show up. They actually have, it's quite fascinating. They actually, and I encourage each of you, if you'd ever like to go on an inspection, it's very interesting. They have the ability to manipulate the doors and actually get on top of the elevator and operate the elevator from on top of it. They'll take it out of service and check all the safety equipment that's in the hoistway, make sure it's traveling at the right speed and the tests have been done and it's not going to free fall and all these different things. If everything goes according to plan, they write up an appropriate inspection report that says satisfactory, and the elevator owner continues to operate until the next period that we come back. If there is a safety test that hasn't been performed, or if a piece of equipment isn't operating correctly based on our staff's experience working in this industry, then they write up a correction. Usually then that business owner gets that information to a contractor who will come out and make the repair and let us know, and then we go back out and double check it if it's necessary. So in extreme situations, and it does happen, we'll actually ask that device be taken out of service until something is updated because of the risk to the public. The basic same system happens with boilers, although with boilers, in some boilers are quite large. Our staff has to crawl inside and check for welding failures, corrosion, safety devices, all different kinds of things. The men and women in my shop that do elevator and boiler inspections are highly professional. They come out of the industries in which they come, and it's amazing what they're able to do and to walk up to these devices and tell whether they're operating safely or not. It's based on years and years of experience. So hopefully I've answered your question.
Thank you. And just a small follow-up. When you say your staff, is it one, two people, three? How many people usually?
Again, I've got 150, so I should probably know these details. But overall, I believe there are 8 or 9 boiler inspectors that are responsible for the 16,000 boilers in my unit, and there are 8 or 9 elevator inspectors.
I guess what I meant, Mr. Chair, is on a typical inspection, one person would come do it?
Yes,
or?
I'm okay, sorry, Representative. One person would do that.
That's a lot of work, Mark. And
absolutely.
And I recognize that, and I sympathize with you. Representative, are you finished, Representative Thatcher?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm not here to be peeved about beverage inspections yet, because I know as of this day we're not being inspected, but I am concerned about the language in the bill. But Mark, my question is, and you've talked about how you're doing this today, and you made a statement about if we don't pass this, we'll have to do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
There are, due to the economy right now, I'm sure there are inspections, or there's things that we are not doing as much of as a result of a downturn. Can you talk about those and how you said you've been moving resources over?
Sure.
To make this happen?
Sure, Chair Schaffler, Representative Cameron. Let's see if I answered your question correctly. Again, for construction, for the typical permit and inspection, give you a little bit of background on building codes. When you go to build a new house or a new building or to remodel that, that's work that's created. There's a permit that's issued. We go out and inspect that. And once we're done with that, we walk away and we don't go back. If it's commercial business, then the fire service comes in and does their annual or biannual inspections of the commercial building. And so as the economy's gone down, as an example, our manufactured housing program is down 48% over the last 3 years. We've reduced staff accordingly based on that workload.
Okay. Same in recreational vehicles, the same in what we call our site-built programs, where we provide services where cities and counties don't. We're a little kind of off the bill, and so I adjust staff accordingly. In the boiler and elevator program, again, because of that annual nature or that ongoing frequency of it, we don't have the ability to, we don't see those huge peaks and valleys in workload to where you line up staff with workload because it's fairly consistent. Yes, we had new ones on an ongoing basis, but we don't see the big drop-off. What we've done to address our fee problems is first cross-trained other staff within the organization to do some of the lesser risk boilers and elevators. When I talk about the traditional elevator inspector, we're talking about an individual that's typically worked in the elevator boiler trade for 10, 20, 30 years before they come to the state. They have a great deal of experience. But if you're looking at some of the air tanks or a wheelchair lift, some of those smaller devices, we can take some of our building inspectors and our electrical inspectors and get them kind of familiar with what's going on and provide some cross-training on things that are don't present a huge risk to the public. For our bigger areas, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. Again, we also then worked with the insurance companies in the boiler program because what happens is businesses have the choice to choose their service provider in the boiler area. So if you want to use your insurance provider that already covers your building, they offer inspection services. Some of the companies do. And so many businesses choose to have these insurance go with the insurance company because it's part of an overall package. And they do the inspections. We manage it. We issue the permits. We monitor the activity to make sure it happens. But the service work is done by these insurance providers. There's a lot of confusion because sometimes businesses go in and out, insurance companies lose contracts, that leftover work comes to the state, and we need to take care of that. So last year, we worked with the insurance industry to kind of clarify our roles so that I wasn't spending a great deal of time and cost chasing down who is responsible for which elevators, and I can kind of manage my workload better. Other than that, and then just prioritizing the work, as I suggested, where we went from kind of a risk-based system or a static system to a risk-based system, where before, and again, these programs have been around for a long time, not much change, not much kind of management view into how they operate, and we started to do that in the last several years. We looked at certain boilers and certain elevators just because that's what the statute said. Now we look at them based on a risk assessment of how dangerous they are, what's the life cycle, what type of equipment they are, what's the risk to the public. So those are the, hope I'm getting at the genesis of your question, those are the things that we've done to kind of keep us operating while we've known we've had these revenue problems all along, and I'll continue to do that. This bill, the policy side of these bills, not the fee side, on the methodology and the streamlining is going to allow me to take two separate programs that have operated independently for years, decades, and bring them into one billing system, one computer system, one invoice to our customer, and through an e-pay system by standardizing the terminologies and making them administratively operate the same. I hope I got to what you're getting at. It doesn't look like it.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Any further questions of Mr. Long? Mark, I only got one hang up. It's a beverage service.
I got it.
All right.
You give me a chance to come back up in about 2 minutes, I'll tell you the answer to that question.
Well, we're going to need more than just your word. I just think this needs to be changed.
Needs to be.
I will gladly have you back up. Go do your work. In the meantime, I'm going to go call Ron Murray with Plumbers and Fitters, Local 290, and Catherine Vanetta with... Catherine, forgive me, I don't know what this acronym means, so come on up. Whoever wants to go first.
Thank you, Chairman Schaffler, members of the committee. My name is Ron Murray. I represent the United Association of Plumbers and Steam Fitters. So I actually represent the individuals that will work on pressure vessel systems. When you walk into an elevator in a high-rise building and you think that there are 50 open floors beneath you, I think it's self-evident why we need good elevator inspections. But I'm actually going to address the boiler, which is in the bowels of the building, just like in this building, and no one ever sees it, no one ever knows it really exists, but it's actually the device in the building that provides you with your heat. And there are some accompanying appurtenances like pressure vessel tanks that supply pneumatic air to the systems that control your heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems, and so forth and so on. We strongly support this bill. We believe that the fee increase not only is very small, but we would probably have the fee increase even greater, and we certainly don't see it as onerous to any industry. It's difficult, I think, to express the safety aspects of a boiler or a pressure vessel and how dramatic the failure of a pressure vessel is. I personally worked on the boilers in the Portland Public Schools, and we had approximately 300 boilers. Some of them were old ship boilers that were high-pressure boilers. Some are low-pressure boilers and so forth and so on. But I think to dramatize it, if you can imagine the dramatic effects if a tire blows out on your car and that operates at 32 pounds per square inch. We've all seen the catastrophic consequences of a water heater in a house that erupts and will completely demolish a home, and that's a 52-gallon water heater. So if you can even imagine the catastrophic events that would occur if a large boiler, for example, a boiler that heats this building, if the safety devices didn't operate correctly, what a traumatic event it would be. We strongly support in the boiler program. We're very involved with the boiler board. I know that they would support this as well. And with that, it would probably just be best if I took any questions from your committee, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Dana, do you want to go first? And then we'll open it up to questions.
Please. Chair Schaffler, members of the committee, Catherine Venata, Governmental Affairs Manager of the Northwest Pulp and Paper Association. Pulp and paper mills located in Oregon that I represent have a large number of boilers and pressure vessels and also elevator conveyance systems, more in the form of man lifts. We would like to comment on this bill and separate our comments between the policy and the fee issues. On the policy side, we applaud the department's work to streamline the program and to bring the two programs into a synced billing cycle and to be more efficient in their work. However, due to the really tough economic times that our industry is facing in Oregon right now, with some of our mills shutting down, namely the St. Helens Pulp Mill, several weeks ago, we have adopted a fee policy, which is unprecedented for the association, which says no new fees or fee increases in order to try to manage our costs, in order to try to keep things in perspective. And so I would oppose the fee increases on the boiler and elevator side for that reason. I think it's important to know that most of our facilities use the insurance companies to do the work, and from that standpoint, it would be the insurance fees that would be affecting us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions to these nice fine Americans?
I do have a question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
So the fee, just to clarify, even if you have your insurance company do the inspections with their certified, I assume they're privatized certified inspectors versus the state, the fee still applies?
Chair Schaffler, Representative Cameron, it's my understanding that a certain portion of the fee, and you might want to ask the department exactly what our insurance companies would be paying, but I can assure you that if insurance companies' costs increase, that those will be passed on to us.
I would imagine, even if what Representative Cameron said is true, the department still has to examine that, that whatever paperwork that is submitted to the department, which costs money too. And don't get me wrong, though, I very much sympathize with your industry, and you know that. And it's criminal that that elected officials in this state are getting in the way of things like the Western Oregon Plan Revision. We're talking about thousands of family wage jobs, many of them union jobs. And people, when we're starving, scratching and clawing and scrimping, trying to find money to provide services in this state, and people still think it's okay to get in the way of those kind of plans and our ability to get on the land and sustainably take advantage of those wonderful resources we've been blessed with. It's criminal. I oppose what they're trying to do. We need to go forward, not backward. I'm going to get off my soapbox now, but thank you. I definitely sympathize with you. I don't want to mislead you, though. I'm likely will be supportive of this.
Is it really criminal, Mr. Chair?
I believe, in my humble opinion, it is a crime. Now, you can take that for what it's worth.
I'll do that, Mr. Chair.
All right, good. Any further questions of the Representative Esquivel, then Representative Kenner?
Just one thing. I had a constituent write in and said, you're cutting your budget. Why don't you buy a tree?
Amen, brother. Representative Kenner.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to comment. I enjoy your soapbox, and I just wondered, would it be okay if I bought a drum? So
bring it on, brother. Any further questions of these nice people? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do we have any more forthcoming information today? I'm going to just take a quick...
Mr. Chairman, is anybody going to speak on behalf of restaurants or...
They're probably going to get their chance or representative because we're not moving anything today.
Okay.
We're going to be in a one-minute recess. A hearing on House Bill 2200. Mr. Long, please. Is that legal? I didn't wait a full minute.
Mr. Chair, I think you're okay.
All right.
If you have a problem, I think Ramona will.
Well, we're not moving.
Ramona will be here.
We're not moving this bill today.
All right. Mr. Chair, again for the record, Mark Long. Sorry, I didn't have the answer to the beverage question. Here's the way it works. There are.
You're forgiven, Mr. Long.
You know, we have a few things under our portfolio.
Yes, you do.
Apparently, we regulate beverage systems that are 5 cubic feet and larger. Don't ask me what that is, please. But that, I'm told, are the larger systems, like in a large fast food chain, or large restaurants, where the air tank that supplies the pressure to the soda fountain is of such size that it needs to be inspected on a basis. There are 2,600 in the state. We inspect those every 5 years under the current system. So we're not adding to that regulatory structure. As I thought, the things that you would find in a smaller production facility, such as a possible cafe, those type of things, are not regulated. It's 5 cubic feet and larger, and it has to do with the size of the tanks. And I can get you a whole bunch more technical information if you'd need it.
And, Mark, that's what I'm just on page 12, the language you're pulling out says greater than 20 cubic feet. You may have 5 somewhere else. I'm not going to spend any more time on this today.
Sure.
I'm going to ask you to come around and explain that to me, that even with that, on line 1 under lowercase d on top of page 13 it says beverage service in certain tanks, and I think unless there's some specific definition somewhere else which I'm asking you to go find,
sure,
that is pretty broad language, and I'm confident I've opened up a can of worms and there'll be a million gazillion other people looking at it too. So with that, I'm just going to let you go today. We've spent enough time. I am not opposed to this bill. I've taken into consideration the concerns out here, but I definitely want elevators and boilers inspected on a regular basis in this
Mr. Chair.
Representative Barton.
Mr. Long, just a thought as you go back to satisfy Chair Schaffler's concerns. Mm-hmm. Of course, in Section 4 there on page 12 and 13, you are deleting sections A through G, and then you're replacing it with new language,
correct,
sections A through D,
correct,
assuming, and I take you at your word, that you're not trying to increase or expand or in any way modify your current regulatory authority. You may want to just keep language A through G and adjust the fees accordingly.
Yeah.
A possible thought to consider.
Yeah. We did it to try to consolidate, make it a little bit simpler.
I understand.
And you're doing a fine job.
I understand the risk of opening things up.
All right.
That's probably why it hasn't been changed since 1920, whatever it is.
I think we can work this out, Mr. Long.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing of House Bill 2200 and open. I public hearing on 2045.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2045 authorizes a chiropractor who is serving as an attending physician at the time of a worker's compensation claim to make findings regarding the injured worker's impairment for the purposes of evaluating their disability. There is no fiscal or revenue impact on the measure, and it was unanimously approved by MLAC on January 30th.
Dr. Sabo, would you like to come forward? I think this is a pretty straightforward bill, Doctor.
Just like the last one, right?
There's nothing in here on beverages and restaurants.
I'm ready for a beverage. It's got to be noon somewhere.
Chair Schaffler, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Vern Sable, representing the Oregon Chiropractic Association. I'll make my comments brief. House Bill 2045 simply reestablishes a chiropractic physician's ability to rate permanent impairment for injured workers. Last session, House Bill 2756, which actually expanded chiropractic services for injured workers, inadvertently removed that ability. This is simply the fix. It was not the intent of House Bill 2756. That's been established. DCBS did a legislative review of the record, found no rationale. It was simply a mistake. As committee administrator indicated, it has the unanimous support of the Management Labor Advisory Committee. So that completes my testimony, Chair and members of the committee. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Doctor, before that bill was passed last session, you had this ability, and because of a clerical error, you lost it. Now we're just reestablishing your authority, right?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions? Very good, Doc. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to testify on this bill? With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2045, and I would entertain a motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Kennerick?
Move approval.
With the DuPass recommendation, Representative?
Yes.
Representative Kennerick moves House Bill 2045 to the floor with the DuPass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any concern? Is there any opposition? With that, so moved. Is this a merit consent calendar, members?
It's a change in status. I think we ought to mention it. I'd be happy to carry it.
Representative Kenmer, I would love to have you carry this on the floor. With that, I'll close the work session. If anything for the good of the order, with that, we're adjourned.